They've never beaten that, have they? No. Feedback. Nobody's ever found a way of...
No. Okay, so my name's Tim Jones.
How do you do it?
I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust on the 24th of July, 2009, at 3:40 p.m. Can I ask you to tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
My name's Wally Cockgrave. I'm 70 and a bit, and I come from London originally, but we live in Sidmouth in Devon.
Thank you very much. Can you tell us when it was you first found out about the One Another Project?
You prompted me on this, but I put shows on in this lovely little town in Devon, and we raised money for charity, a little singing group, Musicality, and I was looking for one particular site, and there was a link that took me to the Help for Heroes Fund. An email came, and I got an email from One Another, and I thought in February it seemed a really good idea. At the moment I'm panicking like I don't know what. In February this was going to be really funny, and I thought that's how I could help this fund that I'd only just found out about. And what shook me is I didn't know about the fund, and I just wondered whether there were still other people who might not know about this fund. Unlikely, but if I didn't, the chances are there's a few thousand other people. And I thought if I get 100, 200 people interested and they're doing something, it's another couple of free grand for the fund. And also a bit of an experience for myself.
So can you tell us a little bit about the fund that you're going to be doing something on the plinth for?
Well, I'm speaking for, I do a little bit of stand-up, I do a little bit of entertaining, so hopefully the humour that I've prepared will be enough to get a crowd around me, under the auspices that I'm some sort of celebrity that they've forgotten and I'm sick as a pig about it. I'm hoping to catch people's attention with that, and then I'll launch into how I feel about this terrible dilemma of young men almost daily being killed and seriously injured. And the difference there is in this, in my mind, is the much more personal, how much closer people are to a war, in the sense we live not far from a Marine camp, and so we see these young men being posted off and going, obviously apprehensive, but all looking very smart and up for it. And then the tragedy will be 2 or 3 months later, one of those lads or two of those lads have died. And that's very unusual in war, that you're that close. I used to be a soldier, and not that anybody ever tried to kill me, unless it was in the NAFI, and we had a few little fights in there. But and I thought there's a much more personal thing to this. As well, we meet their parents, and a fella I know, this young lad who was killed not so long ago, Jack Sadler. I've met the father, and the devastation that is in him to this day, and we meet the wives and we meet the children, and you see the shock and the grief of something that they may never get over, but we're gaily going about our every day. And I just wondered if by bringing that view to it, I may be able to prick people's consciences a little bit, or wise them up about it a little bit, that some people might just do a tiny bit more, and it would mean a few more bob in the tin for the Help the Heroes Fund.
Thank you. Can you tell us then a little bit about what you do then for this fund, and what you do kind of on a daily basis?
I run a little singing group. We did a show last night, actually, a Victorian evening, and we do it for nothing. And we raise funds, maybe a couple of £1,000 a year, if we're lucky. Very, very good singers, very good people, very good musicians. And it used to be, I have a son who's not very well with Asperger's syndrome, and we used to donate the money to Mind. And then I got linked up with the Lions Association, who I have enormous respect about, people who work tirelessly for charity. I've never seen people so dedicated to working for charity. And the money that we raise then goes into their general fund, and then they'll spread that around several local charities. So all the money that's raised in the area stays in the area, and people know that it's there to help several different charities. And they'll pick out some little known charities as well, but mostly to the well-known ones like Mind and Hospicare, Kids Hospice and things like that. And I find it very rewarding, and it seems to me to be the ideal equation. Us desperate to get on a stage and sing and do our bit, an audience hopefully getting entertained, and a charity getting maybe a grand that it wouldn't have got otherwise. So it's everybody only comes out of it reasonably happy.
And can you tell us a little bit about your background? You mentioned that you've been in the forces.
Yeah, I was. I went in as a national serviceman, signed on for an extra year because of some dubious circumstances to get me out of debt, and I ended up doing 3 years and 3 months, which is a very unusual term, but it was because I had the chance to go to North Africa, to Libya, and Germany. The extra, by signing on, I was able to see a little bit of the world. I come not more than a mile and a half from this cabin, from Notting Hill, and that was my world. I hadn't seen, and that's something that always strikes me. People see Notting Hill as like flash and loud and over the top, and yet I remember it, and we're going back tomorrow, as very much a village. That I lived in four streets. Most of my family and in-laws were in those streets. My mum used to say to me, there's 16 people in this road who can hit you if you step out of line. And I often wonder whether that's what we're missing a tiny bit now. You're sort of policing yourself, though it was a very rough, quite a dodgy area at times. So I come through Notting Hill, went through the army, got married, become a welder, loved working with steel. Very fortunate in the jobs I had. I became a blacksmith later on because I enjoyed the work so much. I've been a professional gardener. In these changing times, you have to be able to ride with a punch and go whichever way the wind's going. And I've managed just to keep dancing and just keep ahead of the really bad messes. And we've come out of it not too bad.
So how did you feel when it was announced to you that you'd been awarded an hour on the plinth?
I was very, very excited. And the trouble is, I see everything as funny, because I opened the email and I must have laughed for 20 minutes. I could not believe it. And yet, I'm extremely lucky. I was on Radio Devon yesterday and Radio 5 Live promoting this. And I just consider myself, I pick the phone up and it's as if there's somebody waiting to talk to me, you know. And I've had a taste of fame. Would you remember, I don't suppose it's in your mind, but Clegg, the Liberal Democrat leader, he thought that the pensioners got £30 a week. Do you remember the furore over that? Mm. Well, I was the old boy who asked him the question. So I've now got 4 pages on Google, and it goes to your head a little bit. Like I keep having to look at it, just seeing if anybody's adding stuff on. And so, yes, really excited. But that was in February. I'm not quite so excited now. I'll be fine when I'm up there, because I do a lot of shows. I do a lot of musicals, so I'm used to a stage and a performance. But this is very different, and I'm relying on an audience, hence the megaphone. I've got to draw people in, otherwise it's going to be a little bit, might be a bit of a damp squib. Though I suppose I've got a little speech together that I run every 6 or 7 minutes, hopefully getting a new audience every 10 minutes or so. And if there's 200 people, it might be a couple of £1,000 in the long run, down the line, where I'm urging them to a jumble sale. Not to do, you ain't going to go crazy. That's the thing about it. Because in the old days, I used to work on the Dungeness power station, and there was a fella there who was a gypsy. And you would have been worried about him. He looked awful. And yet this man bought, I don't know how many custom-made caravans in the 70s for disabled children. And I said to him one day, how do you manage it? And he said, it's organised half crowns. And that's how I feel about this. If enough people, if everybody in the country put their hand in their pocket today and put it in a tin, what I'm asking for would be half done. It really is as simple and as straightforward as that. So I'm hoping to get that sort of message over a little bit. And the other thing, no, that don't really come into the remit, but I've just had, it's, I don't know what it is, but it really does make you think, this idea. I struggle to see it as art. I do. I always thought art was something I couldn't do. It was people with a particular gift. But art now can mean anything. And I think, in a sense, that's devalued true art. But it did strike me that this would be a lovely thing if this had been available in 1066 and we were able to get first-hand knowledge of how the battle went. And I said to Harold, keep your eye open for arrows, and because it was the worst advice I ever gave him. And people will be able to look at this. Hopefully they develop this and people, it becomes a, maybe a little bit more serious. I don't see the value of doing nothing up there, other than it gives yourself a bad name.
So who would you say then in total you're doing this for, you're standing on the plinth for?
Partly for myself, for my conscience, that I like to think, even as a 70-year-old, I'm on top of things. I'm very active, a lot of sport. Not necessarily to stay fit, just to stay alive, because I think, if I could pass that on to you, I don't think we're much more than plants. And if you've got a rose and you keep dead in it, it's going to grow a lot longer. And if you've got a human being and you've got thoughts that you're taking in and discarding, I think your body's thinking, I've got to be there, I've got to be ready for this, and I think helps you through. So a bit of it's, for me, stimulation, making me think, making me meet people, but most of it is my memories of the army. I was in a tank regiment, the 2nd Tank Regiment, drove a Centurion, and a young boy was killed from that regiment, and that's affected me more. I had to switch it off, which again upset me, because I'm thinking to myself, you ain't really strong enough to watch it. But that one particular thing, 18, you know, some of these kids, you wouldn't send them to the corner for a pound of sugar, do you know what I mean? And there they are doing things that, you know, awful things on our behalf. And that's the other thing that I want to stress. Where this war has become personal, there always used to be, they're doing it for king country. Well, I think that's a bit easy to hide behind, because it sort of depersonalises it. But if you say to people, they're doing it for us, they're definitely out there for us, you've got some responsibility in this. You can't just keep looking at headlines and thinking, oh dear. You have to have some involvement in it, and that's what this country always did. They helped out. That is hackneyed now, but Dunkirk, that spirit, people a mile from here were having houses blown from underneath them 70 years ago. We were bombed out, and oddly, on the day we were bombed out, I was just telling my daughter, it only come to me last night, I used to live at the White City Estate, and the block of flats we used to live in was hit by a rocket, and we'd only moved out a month or so before, but my dad went back to see if he could help mates he'd obviously made and families we knew, and he took me over. And I always remember my dad covered in this white dust, just head to toe in dust, where he'd been in rooms and the dust was still settling and everything. But oddly, and your mind plays tricks on you, but I'm sure it was that same day, because I can remember him in Trafalgar Square, 65 years ago, and in the middle was a Spitfire, the symbol of what had kept this country, this is 1944, the symbol of what made this country wonderful, or kept it, because there could be a different slant to this whole thing. You know, we might be forced to do this now. And the thing that always stuck in my mind, or didn't stick in my mind, but came back to me yesterday, was the RAF people around it were giving out savings books, and you put a Frutney stamp on it, or you stuck the stamp on the Spitfire, and they had your threepence, and the plane went off and did its business with your stamp on it. So you had a bit of personal involvement in it. And that way they bought a Spitfire. And it got me thinking about these helicopters. Towns would buy a destroyer. They didn't buy it, but they would put money in towards a boat. And maybe the Help for Hero funds might be something that could pull people back into that sort of line of helping your neighbour, and mostly because you never know when you want help. It's a sort of selfish thing, but maybe we've lost that spirit that used to exist in these streets, where somebody only said to me the other day, he came from Exeter, in the High Street, he said, what I can't imagine is when I was a child, people lived in these little houses in between shops. Now it's just chrome end to end, and they become very almost foreign to me, you know.
What hopes or fears would you say you generally have then? Or what would you say, what things are most important to you at the moment, and what hopes and fears do you have?
My family, very important to me. I'm craving grandchildren. I'm 70 years of age and my family are barren. I've actually suggested I have a girl and two boys who've had relationships, as they call it now, that have folded to three very attractive kids, and that I never could believe were mine, actually, because they were so pretty. I've actually suggested that my daughter marries one of the boys and that we adopt. So I'm desperate for a grandchild. So that's the one thing I would really love before I come over. I worry for them. I don't have too many worries. We're people that live on a state pension. I'm amazed that Labour don't talk to me, because we do reasonably well. When I hear about pensioners demanding this and demanding that, we don't, you know, I could always do with a bit more. But considering I never paid into anything, this government really looks after us. And I am a little bit worried about what a Conservative government might do to the benefits that we get.
So how are you feeling an hour before you get up on the plinth?
Nervous and excited. But because I am a performer, I've learned scripts as best as I can. I've got a little prompt down there that I'll take up with me. But I'm able to ad-lib, I'm able to skip through things. I'm hoping I get a little bit of a buzz between me and the people, which depends on if I can get enough people around and get them laughing to start off with. I feel quite good about the whole thing, and hopeful that it has some effect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.